We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, this is Inside Tech Basketball with Brooke Storr and Eric Conkle. Brought to you by Fanbase Ruston, all tech, all the time. Also by Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics. Live at the Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. This is Inside Tech Basketball with Brooke Storr and Eric Conkle. Here are your hosts, Malcolm Butler and Dave Nitz.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inside Tech Basketball here at the Doghouse Sports Grill in downtown Ruston. This is Inside Tech Basketball with head coaches Brooke Storr and Eric Conkle. I'm Malcolm Butler. First half hour, we'll talk Lady Texture basketball. Take a look back at this past week's two-game road trip in Texas, and then take a look forward to the two home games this coming week against Middle Tennessee and UAB. And then at the bottom of the hour, it'll be Dave Nitz joined by Eric Conkle, and they will talk all things Bulldog basketball. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Malcolm.
I'm not sure either one of us really wanted to come tonight. We would have just liked to have forgotten these last two games in Texas. But we're going to do our due diligence and rehash some of these things, and I'm going to ask you some of the same questions I probably asked you on the post-game shows. Headed to Rice on Thursday night. Rice is the defending Conference USA champion. Have not lost a regular season conference game since Louisiana Tech beat them back in March of 2018. I think it's up to 22 in a row now. Always a very, very good basketball team. The only undefeated team remaining in Conference USA. And we knew going in that we were going to have to play well on both ends of the floor. It's really hard to score against Rice. They were very good defensively. What they do offensively with that Princeton offense, they don't give you a lot of offensive possessions. And so you've really got to do a good job of making the most of them. Unfortunately, I did not shoot the basketball well at all, 26% for the game, which I think was a season low, coming out of there with a 60-47 loss. I guess just kind of your thoughts about that game overall coming out of it.
I just thought defensively we got off to a poor start in transition. I felt they got a couple of easy looks on us that just, you know, typically being able to pick up the ball and get the ball stopped, we let them get out and run on us a little bit. And I thought their energy was really good that first quarter. And I thought we just dug ourselves a little bit of a hole there. We're in a four-point game. We were having trouble scoring, and we knew we would. We knew we were going to have to shoot some threes and make some threes. And we feel confident with that. But I thought, again, the types of shots we took weren't great. And we talked a lot about that, of just, you know, one of the five types of shots that we want within offense, and we weren't very efficient with that. You know, a number of times we talked all week about, you know, you have 6'9" there in the middle. You're not going to get many shots off in the paint, and you've got to be able to drive middle and kick. Baseline drives aren't going to be there. And for whatever reason, I guess we just needed to find that out for ourselves, because they certainly didn't believe us when we told them that during the week. So we had some block shots early on, and that resulted in some transition for them. And then I thought after that we settled in, and I thought we defended pretty well. We were pretty even for the remaining three quarters, and cut it to 8 there with about 4.5 to go, and fouled and had a missed block out. Gave up a offensive rebound put back to put it back to 10. And, you know, we got it to 8 and had three chances to cut it to 6 or 5 and had two wide open looks from 3, and they just didn't go down. And, you know, at that point, they start getting a little nervous, and, you know, hopefully the home team plays a little bit tight at that point. You never know what happens. But I thought, you know, just that game, we lost it in that first 10 minutes on the defensive end of the floor. And, you know, it's something that we felt pretty good about going in there. Is, and the thing about it is Mulkey didn't hurt us as much. She had seven points, but she really dictated things offensively, or dictated things defensively. For them, and caused some problems for us offensively.
Yeah, you mentioned get outscored 21-10 in that first quarter. You're down 11. The rest of the three quarters, you get outscored by 2, so it's basically an even game after that. But you're playing from behind. Erica Ogumike, the reigning Conference USA Player of the Year, she was in street clothes, did not play. We found that out right, you know, as they came out to start warming up. You made the comment after the game was over. You don't know if maybe, you know, our kids maybe relaxed a little bit when they saw that. But like,
I don't
you
know
said,
why.
Right, because you know they're still good. But transition D in that first quarter was really the key.
No question. And that's something that, you know, I felt like we've been pretty solid with over the last, you know, month. And, you know, we've had some mistakes in the half court defensively, but we haven't given up as much transition as we did early on in the season. Really felt like we had gotten that kind of situated and settled. And we weren't picking up the ball where we were supposed to early on to, you know, slow the ball handler down. And then, you know, it puts extra pressure on you. We got caught a number of times with three people on the baseline as we drove, and then not getting back in transition. I thought they did a great job of attacking us and really exploiting that.
You mentioned, and you've mentioned this a few times on the show in the post game, the five types of shots y'all are looking for. Give us a little rundown on what those five types of shots are.
Well, I mean, we want a straight line drive. We want a room and rhythm three. We want a post touch. We want a paint touch. Which could be off the dribble. It doesn't have to be, you know, just a post hit. And then we want a free throw attempt. And, you know, pull-up jumpers, contested pull-up jumpers off one pass, baseline drives off one pass where the defense hasn't had to rotate, driving in, trying to shoot over 6'9". None of those are on our list. And, you know, we've got to be more efficient with that. And that's something that, you know, with this, you know, my patience gets a little thin and at times with that, and we've got to find some consistency with that. And it's just, you know, it's tough to watch at times.
Hey, you mentioned 6'9", Nancy Mulkey inside, something you just don't see in the women's game very often.
No, it's like the equivalent of playing a 7'3" guy.
Yeah, I mean, and she is, you know, and she's a game changer, especially on the defensive end of the floor. You mentioned she only had 7 points, but 15 rebounds, so she controlled the glass. Rice out-rebounded us by 14, and she had 5 block shots. And, again, a lot of those were just us forcing the issue.
Yeah, you know, 14 of those were on the defensive boards, and, we got – how many extra shots more than them? What do we have, 17?
17 more field goal attempts than Rice.
You know, I thought we got some looks, and, you know, we turned them over 23 times. You know, we did some really good things, only turned it over 11 ourselves, and, you know, it just – we couldn't convert, and that's the frustrating. I mean, we had – prime example, we miss a shot, and then she gets a defensive board, turns to outlet, Walker picks off the pass and drives right into her and shoots it right into her. You know, again, it's a – we got a 2-on-1 at that point. Just penetrate middle and force her to move, and then let's play and let's get a good shot. But it's just, we've got to play, you know, more intelligent basketball. And that's frustrating for our staff, and we'll continue to teach and we'll continue to harp on it. And hopefully we'll get that eventually.
Well, you mentioned we forced them into 23 turnovers. We only committed 10. So you're plus 13 in turnovers. But on points off of turnovers, you're only plus 1 for the entire game. And, I mean, that's you just don't usually see that.
No, and that's, you know, again, it's you got to convert.
Yeah.
And when you get that many extra opportunities, you got to take advantage of it. And That's something that, you know, we'll hopefully, you know, we had seven kids that played for the first time against her, and I think one time, you know, the first time you play her, it's different, and you don't believe it until you're out there, and it does change. You know, she could be at the in between the charge circle and the free throw line, and you're by her, and she can still get a hand on it. And it's just not something that you see all the time. And that's where you've got to get into the paint, keep an extra pivot, have a third pivot, and be able to pass out. We had a lot of standing on the perimeter. We'd have someone drive, and then we just stand. And you've got to be able to move and force. I thought we got a couple of good drives early on off third side. Ball reverse one, Dixon attacked middle and was able to score, and Mulkey was in there, but we had gotten her moved out, and she had had to guard a ball screen, and then we got reversal on a closeout. We attacked middle, and she was out, and Dixon went right at her, but she was far enough out, she was able to get by her. And, you know, we're able to teach from that, and, you know, you get a second chance playing them here, I guess, end of February, first of March. So, you know. Hopefully we'll be a little bit better offensively. You've got to be great offensively against them because you get very few possessions, and you've got to maximize your opportunities on the offensive end of the floor. And like I said, we turned them over 23 times and felt like we got the extra possessions we needed. We just didn't convert.
Right, you're going to have to hit three-pointers or outside shots against them a lot of times because of the 6'9", and we go 3 for 21.
Yeah, 3 of 21 is not going to do it.
That's just not going to get it done on any night. And then last note as far as that game, you mentioned transition defense. We got outscored 13-0 on fast break points. So, again, just not a good offensive night for Louisiana Tech. Turn around, head to Denton, Texas, taking on North Texas. Two teams that need a win. They both sitting there with one conference win. And really, it was kind of the game I felt like we were going to see. I didn't think it was going to be overly high scoring. These two teams very similar in a lot of ways. And it was a back-and-forth ball game, 12 lead changes. There were 11 ties. And had numerous chances to win there at the end of regulation. You know, I thought, you know, just talk about the good. I thought, you know, we're down to Amber Dixon, who literally put us on her back, and I know you'll talk a lot about what she did for us. Goes down and won with about 12 seconds left to put us up by one. And then women's game, you have the timeout. They advance to the front court. And you're sitting there with two fouls you can still give. And I thought the team handled it extremely well. They throw it in. We let them dribble it a couple of times, foul them. Now the clock's down to 10. They throw it in the next time. We dribble it around. They start to drive. You foul them again with 5.5 seconds left. So now we've done a good job of making them waste 7 seconds. And then they throw it in two more times. We get hands on it and so come so close to actually intercepting the ball. And we can't. We lose it out of bounds. Now you're down to 3.3.
We even took a delay of game and stepped out of bounds to see exactly what they were going to run. And we got a deflection on it when they ran the same exact play because they were out of timeouts at that point. Yep. So we did three things to impact what they were doing, and all we needed was someone to secure the basketball, and we couldn't do it.
Yep. And then they, with 3.3 seconds left, we get caught fronting the big kid inside, George, who had hurt us all night long. They just simply throw a lob pass from out of bounds down low to her, and she hits the layup. And I asked, Lindsey Hicks on the way back on the bus. I said, hey, just explain to me why we were fronting her. What was the thought process? Because we did it all night. I thought that was the game plan. And Lindsey said we were never supposed to be fronting her in this ball game.
Yeah, we haven't worked on that all year, so I'm not sure why we did that. And it was kind of frustrating because they had the same sideline inbound when we got it down to 5.5, and so we knew what was happening. She started up at the free throw line. Anytime a big is up, they're going to get a screen and come back in. So they back screened her in. We guarded the first time, and that's when we knocked it away and almost stole it. And then for some reason, we just decided to do something completely different. And we've got a walker on the backside coming in for help. But again, all we have to do is pop the ball out. Just make it not be able to catch.
Right.
Like, just make her fumble it, do something. So the clock runs out and you win the game by one. But we couldn't do that. And honestly, you know, that was the story of the night for me of they got every 50-50 ball. They got every loose ball. We didn't get on the floor. We didn't do the little things that I felt like, are indicative of the teams that we've coached have been. And that was frustrating to me because you had a chance to win a road game when we didn't play very well and they were reeling. And I thought they actually played as well as they've played all year. And we still should have won. And, you know, we hadn't gotten to the end of that of – they score 1.7.
We call the timeout.
I'll let you describe it. You're
advance
better at
the
that
basketball
than me.
To the front court. You huddle up. Y'all, looks like y'all are basically trying to do the same thing with Annalar Robertson.
Yeah,
she sets a screen, slips. She tried the lob pass. They get a hand on it, if I'm not mistaken. Dixon comes up with it and goes up underneath, and they call the foul with 0.4 seconds left, and you're going to the free throw line down one with your best free throw shooter with a chance to win the game. And listen, as you said out in the post game, her missing one of those two is not why we lost that basketball game. We're not in it if not for her, but another opportunity right there where you could have won it.
Yeah, you know, it's really unfortunate. You hate to see that because we would not have been in that situation had she not done what she did. That kid showed a lot. Like, and this is, you know, coming out of Christmas, she wasn't playing or competing the way we felt like she was capable of from a leadership standpoint, just some things like that. We've been really hard on her coming out of Christmas and just challenging her and in front of the team to step up and lead and take over and take charge. And she's not a real vocal player, but when she gets to that point, like, she just took over and she put us on her back and she carried us. I mean, the shot she made with 12.1, mm-hmm. She made a number of tough shots of just great balance and getting to the rim. They couldn't guard her.
No.
And I thought she was as solid as she's been in her career. And it wasn't necessarily that she scored 26. It was every big moment when we needed a play on the offensive end, she made it. And we just needed one more person to contribute in that way, to get a loose ball. You know, one possession, you know, I've got a great poem that Coach Barmore passed along to us, and I'll never forget the first time he gave it to us as a practice. We had lost a game and probably shouldn't have, and he wasn't real pleased with us. And it's only one possession, and it talks about all kinds of situations through the first quarter or first half, 2 minutes in, you know, all this, and it gets down to the end, and they miss a free throw and lose it, and it said, "Oh, no big deal, Coach. Only one possession, but we lost by one." And, you know, it's what I felt like the whole time of, gosh, you know, just get a loose ball. And, you know, it stinks. It's gut-wrenching. And, you know, we've talked about it. This group is about three possessions away from being 3-2 at worst, 4-1, but we're not. And, you know, that's where we've got to grow. We've got to mature. And we've got to continue to coach. And I can't put my head down and pout. Nobody's going to feel sorry for us. Just like I'm challenging our players to do the same thing. It's, you know what? Real leadership shows up when things don't go well. Real leadership shows up when you can't get something to go your way. And real players do that. And that's what they have to do this week.
Amber Dixon with a career-high 26 points in that game. She was 8 of 18 from the field, 10 of 15 from the free throw line. And again, this is a kid that's shooting 85% from the free throw line. Just not.
It's who you want on the line.
Exactly.
And I hated it for her. And, you know, I told her after the game, I talked to her parents because I've been so proud of the way. I mean, this is a kid that got her tooth cracked against UTEP when it hit the floor and came back in two possessions later and had to have a root canal the next morning and all that. And she's just shown some grit and some toughness. And it's been exciting to see as a junior because we've been waiting on that to happen for her, and she's really growing, and we need that, and so that's a positive coming out of that. And we've just got to continue to get more production from others, and everybody's got to give just a little bit more and just a little bit more. And you know, Lindsay and I, Coach Hicks and I, were talking yesterday, and she's like, "Coach, we just, you know, I watch all these other teams, and you know, we're just as talented as them. It's, can we dive on the floor for a loose ball? Can we make a play when we have to?" And that's what it comes down to. And I think that's what this team has to recognize. So you're capable. We've seen it. You've shown it. You've got to believe that about yourself, but you got to show up every day and refuse to lose and value every possession on both ends of the floor, that it's the most important one out there.
She also, in that game, 4 steals, 3 assists, just did a little bit of everything. And as you said,
plus
I don't know
how many rebounds did she
have? She had 5 rebounds, yeah.
She had several defensive that, you know, led us in transition there in that second half, in that fourth quarter, that I thought were big.
The new Stat Crew software that the NCAA came out with, one thing they give is she drew 11 fouls on North Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, they had 19 fouls they committed as a team, and 11 were against Amber Dixon because she was constantly getting into the paint.
And it started from the beginning. Yep. I mean, she got him in foul trouble early, and then I thought she was very aggressive throughout the game, and it was really good to see.
Special thanks to Louisiana Tech supporters Burt Davis and staff for serving up the best burgers in the area during tonight's Inside Tech Basketball. Make sure to come in and eat where the Dogs and the Lady Texters eat prior to your next Bulldog or Lady Texter home game. The Doghouse Sports Grill, where the Bulldogs and the Lady Texters are always on. When we come back, we'll take a look at the two games at home this week against Middle Tennessee and UAB. We'll be right back with more of Inside Tech Basketball live from the Doghouse Sports Grill. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Bulldog fans, come out to the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston on Monday nights at 6 p.m. to watch Eric Conkle and Brooke Storr talk Bulldog and Lady Texter basketball with hosts Dave Nitz and Malcolm Butler. Doghouse is just a few steps from Louisiana Tech campus and has been serving fan favorites for 20 years. Doghouse Sports Grill, the official watch party location for Louisiana Tech athletics. It's where the Bulldogs and Texters eat.
Hard work, experience, and dedication. Traits needed for success in both sports teams and medical teams. At Louisiana Pain Care, we are dedicated to treating your pain. Doctors Ledbetter, Gordon, Fort, and Ellis work hard to ensure they get you back to your life, whether it's playing a sport, playing with grandchildren, or just waking up without pain. Louisiana Pain Care wants you to live a life without limits. Ask your doctor today if Louisiana Pain Care is right for you, and check us out at lapaincare.com. That's lapaincare.com.
Super One Foods is right there with you in the stands at every La Tech Bulldog football game. Become a tailgating legend with all the super savings throughout the store.
Certified Angus beef, chips, and soft drinks at super low prices.
While you're there, register your child to become a First Kick kid and join Super One Foods as a proud supporter of the La Tech Bulldogs as they pounce the competition with a taste of victory. Register your child today and cheer on the Bulldogs with Super One Foods.
Tech fans, get your family out to a Louisiana Tech basketball game. Family packs start at just $15 for Lady Texter games and only $25 for Dunkin' Dogs games. Family packs are a great value and include four tickets and four hot dogs. Make your family outings Tech family outings. Join us Thursdays and Saturdays for Louisiana Tech basketball conference games. Family pack tickets must be purchased early and are not on sale game days at the gate. So visit LaTechSports.com today and use promo code CUSAFAMILY. Come cheer on the Dunkin' Dogs and the Lady Texters and ever loyal B.
Well, we're back for more of Inside Tech Basketball live from the Doghouse Sports Grill. I'm Malcolm Butler, joined by Lady Texter head coach Brooke Storr. And, Brooke, we've talked about some of the frustration and, trying to change the mentality, the attitude, whatever it may be, that one-possession games all of a sudden swing our way, and you were talking today. You basically made some decisions when it comes to a little bit of, I hate to use the word punishment, but try to motivate the kids as far as to get them to do that extra thing as far as practice gear in the locker room.
Yeah, I think it's a privilege to do what we do and to get to wear that jersey and to get to wear that uniform and to have the locker room that we have and to get the things that we do. And I think that when we don't uphold that standard and how we compete, I think that you shouldn't have that. And so I've actually never done that with a team that I've been a head coach of. But, it's time to get some change. And you get that with effort and energy and concentration and toughness. And I think so much of that is, as you define toughness, it's not just from a physical sense. It's can I understand a scout? And, how many times do we have to tell you, hey, number two, all she can do is shoot a three. How about we run her off the three-point line instead of close out 2 feet short with your hands down? And I think that gets frustrating, for your staff. And that's a sign of toughness. Understand scout, understand what you have to do. Get on the floor for a loose ball, set a screen when you're supposed to, execute when you need to get a score, stop, score. We did three things at practice today, and they were all very simple, but yet they forced them to concentrate on score, stop, score. And if you got a score, you got to go on defense and you got a chance to get a stop. If you got a stop, you got a chance to score for the second time. And that's what this group will score. And then we go right down and give up something silly.
Right.
And so we've gained momentum and we've gone up four. Oh, but then we just gave up a three because we helped off ball side corner. It's just stuff like that. And so, we're not trying to be corny and whatever, but it's time to show up.
Sure.
It's time to compete. And, you represent this program and all the people that came before you, and it's time to uphold that standard.
Yeah, and it's a matter of a lot of times, and I thought that you know, it's one of those you always hate to talk about effort because a lot of times there's a game. I mean, effort was there from Amber Dixon. There's no
about it. It's just but we needed more of it.
We just needed
one loose ball. One loose ball. It's not that hard. And, I show 18 clips today, 18. And that's a sign of something not right, and you've got to change that.
Well, I applaud you for doing that. You got Middle Tennessee and UAB coming in this week. Middle Tennessee sits at 12-6 on the season. They are 4-2 in conference play. Swept a couple of games at home this past week from the two Florida schools. Their two conference losses came at home against Old Dominion.
Opening.
Yep, an opening night, and then at Western Kentucky. They usually play a pretty difficult non-conference schedule. They did again this year. They got some nice wins. They one-point loss to an Arizona State team that just beat two top-five teams this last week. Rick Enzel always does a really good job with his group.
Yeah, they're going to be well coached. And, it's interesting to me. They're playing basically six kids. They've got eight healthy, and then they play a seventh sparingly. But for the majority of the time, they're rolling with six. And those six understand what they're supposed to do. They play extremely hard. I think they're, in the past three years that we've been here, they've had Alex Johnson inside. So it's a different look because she graduated. I'm really glad we don't have to guard her.
Yes.
But I'll say this, and I think this is a tremendous example. We use this with our players of Charity Savage. If you look at her numbers, where she is right now, if you go pull her numbers from freshman year, sophomore year, and junior year, she averaged less than 2 points her freshman year, played about 4.5 minutes. Sophomore year, she played, I think, 6.5, 7 minutes, averaged about 2.5 a game. Junior year went down in minutes, was under 4, and then averaged, around 2 or less. This year, she's averaging 34 minutes, and she's averaging 11.2 and 10-something boards.
Averaging a double-double. Yeah. 11.2
averaging
rebounds
double-double.
And 10.6
And this is a kid that, I mean, if you looked at her number, I can't even remember the total minutes she played, but it was 7.6. Her sophomore year was the most minutes a game that she played,
and
they
now
beat
she's playing 34.
And now, but you just don't see that today. Yep. And I'll say that I commend that kid because she sat for 3 years, and all she's done is waited her turn. And then when her turn came, she's averaging a double double, and she plays with an extremely high motor. She is, terror on the boards, and she's not your typical back to the basket post player, but she's just extremely athletic, and we've got to match her energy and really got to do a great job. And then you throw on the top of the fact that they've got three really good perimeters in the Hayes sisters, one transfer from Tennessee. Who was the SEC sixth player of the year.
Sixth player of the year, if not
and
Anastasia
then,
Hayes.
Yeah, and I thought Taylor Sutton was one of the best guards in the in the conference. And so she's back for her sophomore year, and they're going to shoot the three really well. And then they're playing Whitson at the four for them, and she can shoot the three. I think she was player of the week this week or for last
freshman
week.
Freshman of the week. Freshman I think,
of the week. And she's they're solid. You know, we've got to do a great job. They're going to defend you. They're not going to make mistakes. They're going to be well coached. They're going to play hard. And we've got a big test ahead of us.
You know, two numbers on here that surprised me a little bit when I was looking at it today, because usually Middle Tennessee teams, A, usually shoot free throws very well. They're struggling a little bit with that this year at 62%. And B, usually they rank in the top one or two of the league as far as opponent field goal percentage. And it's usually like 35, and teams shooting about 41% this year. But again, like you said, they're outscoring people by 7. They're out rebounding people. They're forcing a lot of turnovers.
They're scoring it better. I think they've been better offensively, and they're playing more through their perimeters as opposed to playing through Alex Johnson, what they've done the last few years. And you can look at their three-point numbers. They've taken a lot of them, and they're going.
Yes.
We've got to defend the three-point line a lot better than what we have been.
Yeah, they have. They've taken 160 more threes than Louisiana Tech has attempted.
And I feel like we've shot a lot.
We have. Yeah, they've got four players averaging in double figures, so they're very well rounded. Like you said, a lot of that has to do with it because they're playing a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, 37 minutes, 35 minutes, 35 minutes, 34 minutes.
I think they've got four players that are in the top 10 in minutes played, and we don't have anybody in the top.
And you always wonder how that's going to affect them come conference tournament time, because that's a lot of minutes.
It is, Malcolm. But if you recall. Junior and senior year, I think I played about 38, 39 minutes a game, and I didn't want to come off the floor.
Yeah.
And I think competitors want to play, and that's what I think those kids are competing really hard.
Then you've got UAB that rolls in here on Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock tip-off, and that's a UAB team that the last couple of years, I think they won the regular season title one of those years and was in the top two or three the next year. And they're not quite clicking as well as they have in the past, and I think it has to do with losing Deanna Kuzmanic to graduation.
No
question.
She was evidently the glue
that held them together.
She was such a good player for them, and it really didn't allow you to focus just on her because you had Childress, and then you have Caitlin Thomas inside. And
the point guard, Barnes.
I think Barnes is one, if not the best, top two point guard in the league. I just think she's so good for them. She's solid. I think they've missed Kuzmanic, but I also know that they have the ability to shoot the three. We've beaten them there. I think we played them there last year.
And the year before.
We've won all 3 years there. Or we didn't play them there. We only played them here my first year. But they beat us here last year, and we've got, they shot it really, really well. They can spread you out, and, but they miss Kuzmanic, so they're a little bit different. But I think they do a really good job of getting the ball reversed and finding the three-point line and getting shots for their scores.
Well, Louisiana Tech at home for two big ones this week. Middle Tennessee Thursday night, 6:30. That game will be on ESPN3. Lynn Rollins and one of your former teammates, Katie Hall, will be calling that game for ESPN3. Looking forward to that. And then Saturday afternoon, UAB at 2 o'clock. Best of luck this week.
Thanks, Malcolm. Excited about the ESPN3 getting up and running, and I think it's big for our department, and appreciate that crew and all the people that are working with that, Sadie and all her people in the video department, because I think it's a huge plus for our department and certainly for our basketball programs to have those games available in there.
No doubt about it. Lady Texas will be at home. When we come back, Dave Nitz will be joined by Eric Conkle. They'll talk Bulldog basketball. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
This is Christy Bishop with Century Next Bank. We are pleased to be your community bank with locations to serve you in Reston, Monroe, and Ashley County, Arkansas. We take pride in our customer service as well as in our products and services that were built with you in mind. Experience the convenience of online banking, bill pay, and mobile deposits, as well as our personal service with a smile. Come see for yourself by visiting us in person or online at cnext.bank and experience next level banking with us at Century Next Bank. We are a member FDIC Equal Housing Lender.
Bulldog fans, when you're looking for new La Tech gear, look no further than Fanbase Ruston. You can come in the store in historic downtown Ruston or shop from anywhere on our all-new website with even faster service. With over 70 different styles, you will not find a larger selection of tech gear anywhere. So for wherever you're shopping from, check us out at fanbaseruston.com. Fanbase Ruston, all tech, all the time.
Are physical limitations or pain impacting your ability to move, function, and enjoy life? If so, it is time to get physical. Physical Therapy Balance Centers of Ruston and Jonesboro is unlike any therapist clinic you've been to before. Our highly skilled, compassionate team of physical therapists are 100% focused on achieving optimal health and wellness for you so you can get back to living the life you enjoy. Let us talk to you about how we can help you love your life again. Physical Therapy and Balance Centers. Spelled different because we are different.
We're back for more Inside Tech Basketball. We're live at the Doghouse Sports Grill here at Ruston. Hello, everyone. I'm Dave Nitz, and Eric Conkle getting ready to join us here as we'll talk about a couple of games that the Bulldogs had this past week. A win, of course, over Rice, 72-56, and then the tough 51-50 loss that we had on Saturday afternoon to North Texas. We'll try to delve into that a little bit deeper. Let's talk about Rice first, a team that I thought was going to be a little bit better or play a little bit better than they did. But I thought the key to that game was the fact that Daquan Bracey scored 9 out of the first 11 points that the Bulldogs scored. And it didn't seem like Rice ever recovered after that.
Well, I thought our defensive effort was good to start the game, and that was really the key. We knew that Rice could come in and score a lot of points. They've had a number of guys make a lot of three-point shots. They can play five guys at one time that'll shoot threes, and our guys were ready to defend. We came out with some full-court pressure that created some early turnovers that turned into some nice baskets early, and we got off to a good start and was able to really come away with a nice win.
Yeah, you know, even at halftime, the Bulldogs had a 42-26 lead, and the only thing that really kept Rice into that game was a guy by the name of Trey Murphy III. I think he hit about five three-pointers in that first half alone, and he was just red hot, and no one else was really picking up the scoring for him.
Well, he went to some full-court pressure, and then they later in the half, they put Murphy in corners where they would try to push the ball up ahead and hit him, and a couple times he got loose where we didn't get to him early enough, and then other times we were right on him. He's 6'8", long-armed, and high-arcing shot, and let it fly and made some shots. But you're right, we were able to really contain everybody else. He was their bright spot. He scored most of their points in the first half, and then we were able to contain him better in the second half.
You know, is that something you're seeing more and more these days? You talk about Murphy being 6'8". You know, the guy from UTEP, as I recall, he's about 6'9 or 6'10". They're able to go out on the perimeter and hit the three-pointers. That's something that you didn't see in the past years, but you're now starting to see more of that, I think.
It's all over all levels of basketball. There's a great graphic I saw online a couple days ago that showed the shot distribution of locations on the floor, even in the NBA from 20 years ago, and how it had these dots all over the lane and the elbows and everything else. And now it's just the basket and the three-point line. And so many more kids are making three-point shots at such an early age, and they're doing it all different types of sizes. And Rice is one of those teams that half of their shots, they're in the top 10 in the country in the distribution of their shots coming from the three-point line. And that was something that we really had to guard very, very well.
And that's something they came, well, I'm looking at the stat sheet. They were 9 of 31 from three-point range. They were 33% for the year at three-point range going into that game. So that was pretty much what they've been doing all year long.
Well, you know, holding a team under 30% from three is always the goal of ours. And we talk about points per possession, and anything over 33% is over 1 point per possession. So holding somebody under 30 is our goal, and to be able to do that against Rice, who's a team that really shoots it well, was important to us. And we want to limit threes, number one, and the ones they take, then be contested, and we were able to do that on Thursday night.
You know, going back to what you were talking about, all this three-point shooting, it just seems like, you know, even watching shoot-arounds a lot of times, guys are out there shooting three-pointers maybe more than anything else. It seems like that's what is on their mind, three-pointers and dunks.
I like both of those a lot.
If you can get them.
Yeah, yeah, we make those a lot. And
you'll take a lot more three-pointers than you will two-pointers, I know.
Well, me personally, I would take a lot more threes than dunks, for sure, in my own game. But, no, we want to get to the rim as much as we can. And those are high-percentage shots. And then we want guys to shoot threes that can make the threes. And we do all different types of tests. And, of course, we recruit shooters. We want to recruit enough shooting. And it's become much more challenging to play and score when you can't have three-point shooting with the way the game is now spread out. The three-point line is deeper than before. And just the way the game is called and officiated with the points of emphasis on freedom of movement and different things, it's just important that you can stretch and space the floor.
And with the three-point line a little further out, that causes defensively you have more areas to cover now, doesn't it?
It does. And I know at some point they've talked about even stretching out the lane to go from 12 feet to 16 feet like you see in international basketball or the NBA. I don't know how long down the road that might happen in college, but there is, I believe, now an opportunity for some low post players that have skill to have more space because the three-point line's a little bit further out. The lane is still at 12 feet, and it could give them some more space to operate potentially.
You know, you talked about you looking for shooters. That kind of reminded me of a story that we had an assistant coach here several years ago, and some of the older folks here will remember Tommy Vardaman. Tommy used to tell me, he said, "We've got shooters. I need makers more than anything else." But that's what it comes down to. It's not the shooters. It's guys who can really make it.
Yeah, you got to be able to make shots. I mean, they keep score for a reason. And, of course, you got to be able to defend on the other end and make that difficult on the other team. But you got to have good balance. You know, I wouldn't want every single guy all perimeter-based. You need some guys that can drive it to the basket. You need some guys that can eat some space around the rim. But having good balance and an offensive game plan is important.
Yeah, that's the key to it. You mentioned balance. I mean, being able to shoot from outside but also drive it or get people inside to make some points.
Yeah, because every game is a little bit different. Some teams are defend differently. You got to have different weapons. And sometimes in different games, other guys have other opportunities to step up because of the way the other team is defending.
What about the defense that Rice was using? A little bit different than, and they changed up so often, didn't they?
They do. Because they'll roll out a bunch of guys that are really wings and guards, and they did play a couple centers from time to time, but they would switch really every screen. Sometimes they'd play some, like 1-2-2 in a 3-2 zone and really try to switch up and just try to keep the ball in front. And then also at times that they kind of subscribe to is, hey, we're going to try to really limit your three-point opportunities as best we can, because then we're going to try to get those on the other end and almost trade 3 for 2. But they're a long team. They've got some youth on their team. We were able to defend them well, and it changed their defense as well because they had to play from behind.
Didn't they play something, I think Jack was talking about, kind of a matchup zone at times? Explain to the fans, you know, what is actually a matchup zone, a pure matchup zone, let's say?
Well, for Rice in particular, they started out with a 3-2 alignment where they had three guys on the top and two on the bottom. And a matchup is where you are still matched up to a man within your area. And then if that man leaves your area and is about to go to an area that's not guarded, you would go with them. And they typically will do that on the baseline, sometimes from the top. But that's Rice's slides in their zone are a little bit different because of that.
Well, the Bulldogs were able to win at 72-56. Rice never had a lead in that game. The only time it was tied was when we started at 0-0 and won it by a final score of 72-56. We'll be back and talk about that interesting game that we had on Saturday as the Bulldogs took on North Texas. That's all coming up next. We'll be right back with more Inside Tech Basketball in a moment from the Doghouse Sports Grill. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Loyalty is the foundation of great relationships. At Origin Bank, relationship banking is not just a term we use. It's a way of doing business that's been at the heart of our company for over a century. Louisiana Tech and Origin Bank have a long history of partnering to improve our communities in North Louisiana and beyond. Origin Bank is the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics and an ever-loyal community partner. Origin Bank and Louisiana Tech, a winning team. Bank Original, member FDIC.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers four nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
You know, when the Bulldogs are on the road like they'll be this week, the Doghouse Sports Grill is always your away game watch party destination. Call today and make arrangements for away games because this is the place to be, the Doghouse Sports Grill, where the Bulldogs are always on. Welcome back to Inside Tech Basketball. Dave Netz along with Eric Conkle, head coach of the Bulldogs. And let's talk about that game a little more in depth, North Texas on Saturday. And, of course, the end of the game wasn't good news for the Bulldogs, but the start of the game, the Bulldogs just, we could not stop North Texas. I mean, we tried to press them early, I thought, and they were able to break the press and had to kind of settle back into a more of a half-court defense, didn't you?
Yeah, they came out very, very sharp, and we did not. And on both ends of the floor, and it caused us to make some changes, with our pressure. And when we got back to our pressure, they were able to go against some matchups that really hurt us with their dribble penetration. They're the number one three-point and two-point shooting team in our league. And they've got several guys that can really stretch it and shooting a really high percentage. And we got caught on some in some rotations early in our pressure that hurt us. And stayed with it a little bit, was hoping that we could kind of break out of it. Didn't like the way it looked, so went more to a half-court game. And but really from the offensive end, we turned the ball over a lot early. We had five turnovers in our first 12 possessions, and it was just really bad basketball from our standpoint to start the game. Once we settled in, we were just playing catch-up, and North Texas is a hard team to do that against. They're a very good defensive team. It was a very physical game on both ends. We're a good defensive team also, and we were able to hold them to 16 points up until the last 0.1 second of the second half and get back into that game. But it's just a tough outcome for us. We needed a better start, and that's what we got to get better at.
You know, talk a little bit about halftime, because, you know, at halftime it looked like we just didn't have the life that we had against Rice. But it came out the second half, I saw a lot more life in this ball club. What did you say to instill the life into this team in the second half?
I've got my children right here, Dave. I don't know if I can really say this on the air, but we just really ignited our guys and just challenged them in a big way. And we did that at timeouts. And, we've got a prideful group. We've got a passionate group of guys. We were just in mud. And sometimes that can happen where you give credit to the other team. But we've got a group of guys that came out of that second half, and we decide, hey, we've got to, number one, we got to defend at a much higher rate. We got to start with that. And then we've got to take care of the basketball. We did that. What we weren't able to do is just get any real type of rhythm and consistency shooting the basketball. But we were still able to inch our way back in, and when you get enough stops, you can do that sometimes.
You know, looking at the play-by-play on that, 9 minutes and 12 seconds remaining in the game, you had your first lead of the game, and that was at 44-43. And after that, it was just back and forth, both teams.
It was. You know, Amari Archibald hit three threes that really ignited us, ignited the crowd, and got us a spark. We needed somebody to really step up and make some shots. And against North Texas, it's hard to get great looks. And Amari was able to find a couple and make them and cut the lead down. And we just kept chipping away. And then I don't think either team got more than a three-point lead from the rest of the way out. It kept seesawing and just really a heavyweight fight. I told our team it was really like a conference tournament game. And North Texas is a very good team. I think we're a good team. They were able to get one more play at the end than we were.
You know, you're talking about good shots going back to the first half. It looked like we were not getting in good, decent shots in that first half. And a lot of times, even the passing, they overplayed us defensively. It was hard to even get a pass from me to you, basically.
They play a very different style. They're a team that we call it the push defense, where they're really pushing you to the sidelines. They angle you even at the top slots, and then they really force you to the baseline with early help, and they rally there and create some challenging passing angles. Couple of good looks we got, we connected on, couple that we didn't, but turnovers was the name of the game for us, Dave. We're leading the league right now, even still, in turnover margin at 4.5 a game, and we were a -4 in that game. We turned the ball over 17 times, and when we do that, it's going to be challenging for us.
You know, let's go down to toward the end of the game with 5 seconds remaining in the game, regulation, and it ended up being regulation game. But Archibald drives the middle of the lane and gets a bucket. Was that a design play, or is that something that Amore just took on his own?
Well, I had a timeout, and there's many times where I'll decide, especially in those moments where the game is going, that the best way is give the guys some organization so we know what they're in and they can't change defenses. And Mo set a very good screen. Mari read it. We were able to get to the middle, which, again, they're trying very hard not to allow. And once you get to the middle, you're allowed to have some opportunities. And Amari just went strong to the basket and got fouled. So really good play by his part, very heady in it being aggressive like that.
And, of course, he goes to the free throw line. And, you know, I felt good with him going to the free throw line, 89% on the year at the free throw line, and he misses the free throw. And, of course, they got the rebound. Then you had to call a couple of timeouts, which you had a couple of timeouts to give before they actually shot. But I thought, on the other hand, I thought maybe we fouled them. You know, you look at it now, probably fouled them a little too quickly. You know, make them dribble the ball a couple of times before you foul them. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so they went to the clock, which turned into a timeout, and that happens a lot as they review time and score and things like that. And we told the guys, and part of the philosophy was we wanted to keep them in the backcourt. And I said if a guy gets a rebound and he makes a quick pass out, look to foul him, well, one of the guys ended up fouling early. I was okay with that. We wanted to keep them, even if we weren't able to draw the time so much out, we wanted to keep them in the backcourt, because if you get past a certain level, it then advances to half court. And from half court, you can make a quick pass and shot, and there is no opportunity to foul. So we were able to take 0.7 seconds off the clock. And then, you know, in 4.3 seconds, Hamlet ends up going the length of the floor. And I give him a lot of credit. He took one pass and six dribbles and did it so quickly. Normally, you're not able to really do it like that. And where he was able to get to on the floor and the type of shot he made was the type of shot that, you know, we were obviously hoping to keep him in the backcourt if we could have angled him and turned him, but we also didn't want to foul him. Then he made a great shot.
Was it something you look at it, you would have liked him to maybe, you know, not foul him, but get up to him close enough where he would have had to make an extra pass at that time, which would have taken another second or two off the clock?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to have that play over, no doubt. I mean, every time it goes wrong, you'd like to a different do at it, but you know, I think if I could do it over again, we would try something different, of course, because he made a great play. And I would say 9 times out of 10 times, that's going to be a very challenging play to make. But he made an excellent play. He got the edge. And at that point, you're in a position when you're the other defenders that if you run at him, he's still got enough time to make a pass. And you're just really trying to prevent the easy shot. And I thought he took a very challenging shot, but it's obviously one that he could make. He ended up going 2 of 7 on the night, and that was one of them that he made. So you got to tip your hat off to him. Challenging play for us there at the end, and something that we'll definitely learn from and probably take a different look at it.
As the officials took a look at it on the monitor and they talked to you, they talked to the North Texas coach, what were, when they finally made the final decision after about, I don't know, probably 10 or 15 minutes, what was the comments that the officials made to you, what they determined?
Well, the ruling on the floor was that it was in, so yep. To be able to reverse that, it's got to be inconclusive. You have to be able to turn it without a doubt. And there's also 3 points that they go on. It's the light on the backboard, it's the score clock, and it's the horn. And to overturn something, you really got to know without a doubt that two of those three are correct. The light was on, and it still looked like it might have been on his fingertips. But as the light went on, it was still 0.1 seconds on the clock. And then assuming that they felt like the horn went off after that left his fingertips, and that's when they put on headphones and so forth. So they didn't feel like it was enough to really overturn. It was obviously very, very close. Again, from my point on the sideline, I felt, you know, I tell our guys a golden rule that for in those situations, to prevent them from shooting it too quickly, because you'll see sometimes when there's 4 seconds on the clock and a guy will take a shot from half court, and I'll say, for every second there is, you've got at least one opportunity to do something, a dribble, a pass, and a shot. And when he took 6 dribbles and still shot it, I was like, this is going to be really close. And it was, and it just was enough in their favor to win the game.
Yeah, that was a tough loss to make coaches, fans, and everybody else involved in it not sleep good on Saturday night, I would imagine.
No, it was a challenging one. Those are the ones that you remember for a long, long time, unfortunately, and something that we've got to be able to grow from. We can't get that back. The only thing that we can do is get it back on Thursday night.
Bulldogs lost at 51-50 to North Texas. We'll be back and talk about the upcoming road trip to Middle Tennessee and UAB. We'll be right back after this from the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
At Rustin Eye and Vision, Dr. Brad Anders is here to meet all of your eye care needs. We do it all, from glasses and contacts to diabetic eye exams, glaucoma, redness, or dry eyes. At Rustin Eye and Vision, we prescribe Zeiss eyeglass lenses for the clearest optics and the highest quality of vision. Dr. Anders is happy to see patients of all ages, including infants and children. Call Rustin Eye and Vision today at 318-232-6552 to schedule an appointment. Or just stop on by our office in the new expansion of Rustin Commons on Farmerville Highway, north of I-20 in Rustin.
A great smile can be your most attractive feature, helping you express health, success, and sincerity. This is Dr. Paige Valentine. At Trenton Dental Center, our goal is to help you have a winning smile by providing you with superior dental care in a relaxed, friendly environment. From toddlers to seniors, our experienced staff at Trenton Dental Center welcomes you. Trenton Dental Center, located at 1605 North Trenton in Ruston, and online at TrentonDentalRuston.com.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
Well, our special thanks to loyal Louisiana Tech supporter Bert Davis and his entire staff for serving up some of the best food in the area during tonight's game. And make sure you come out and eat where the Bulldogs and the Lady Texers the next time that you're here at the Doghouse Sports Grill, where the Bulldogs are always on. Well, there was a couple of games in Conference USA today and tonight. Matter of fact, there was one this afternoon at Old Dominion. Old Dominion defeated Charlotte 66-62. So that puts North Texas and Western Kentucky currently in a two-way tie for first place in the conference. Western Kentucky has to go to Marshall on Wednesday night. Bulldogs are among, I think, 4 teams that are tied for that next spot, all with 4-2 records. And the Bulldogs get ready to go on the road to take on Middle Tennessee on Thursday night. And that game will be at 6:30 in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. A little bit about the Blue Raiders. In the past, they've been so-called bell cow of the league, but they've really struggled this year, haven't they?
They played a very challenging non-conference record schedule, and their record reflects that, and they've had some tough games. You know, they were up by double figures at FAU the other night and lost in overtime, so they're coming off a tough loss. they've got talent and they're getting better. They're got some young players that are playing more and more. They've got the C.J. Jones kid that's averaging 16 points a game. Green, who was one of the leading scorers in the league last year, is back. So they've got some weapons. They've been in a lot of close games. They've had some close losses. So we've got to be ready to go on the road and play a very good game on Thursday.
You know, after losing that game on Saturday, I know you can't look too far forward. You're going to have to be able to steal a couple of wins on the road now that you didn't think you might have to do, but now you're going to have to.
Well, we go into every game, obviously, one at a time. And even, you know, from Saturday to every other game that we play, we just talk about going 1-0 that game. And I think if you look too far ahead and get too concerned about conference race and pod play and all those types of things, it's good to know how important each game is. But our focus is entirely on Middle Tennessee starting tomorrow. We focused on ourselves today and looked at things from Saturday that we can get better at that impact Thursday's game. But we just got to focus on playing a really good game on Thursday.
You mentioned something, the pie play or the bonus play or however you want to. I thought it was going to be not coming back this year. You know, some of the coaches that I heard talk, they really didn't like it, and all of a sudden we have it again. I would hope personally it's the last year for it. What are your thoughts?
You know, I have no control over any of that stuff.
I know
stuff,
you don't have any control, but you have to have an opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's things that I think in theory that it could be a good thing. Yeah. I think for that team that's having that special year and has had a special non-conference and pins them against some really good teams, I do think that there are some real challenges logistically from a travel standpoint to, you know, had conversation, and this is a good thing to announce, you know, for our seniors, our senior day will be February 15th. We'll have two more games after that at home, but we're going to have our senior day on that last home game that we know is going to happen. I believe that's against FAU.
FAU is correct.
So that's a challenge logistically, but it's unique in that way. And I feel for our fans, and we've got to continue to do a great job of letting our fans know when that schedule comes out to make sure that everybody comes out and supports the Dogs on those two games, those last two home games. So, you know, I knew that it was going to be a two-year thing for sure, and I know it's going to be revisited and in this two-year cycle be able to be evaluated and figure out what's next for the future.
Do you like what the women have done? They've taken their out-of-conference schedule and put it together for their bonus play.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. I don't really pay any attention. Tell me about it, Dave. I don't know.
Well, they say they take all their out-of-conference games before they start conference, and their standings and their out-of-conference, that's how they determine their bonus play in that last four or five games. I don't know if you can do that logistically. I guess you can, but doesn't seem like that would be too right, I mean, as far as that is concerned.
Yeah, so if I sounds like they're pairing up their teams from their non-conference.
Right,
and
right.
I think from that standpoint, it gives you a little bit more time to prepare. You know, I just think it's figuring out for our league how can we get a second team in. And there's so many different ways to potentially do that. So much of it comes from your non-conference and your ability to play the right type of schedule and have the right type of team. But, you know, I do commend our league for trying to think out of the box. Until you really put those things into play, that's when you really find out if it works or not. And again, in certain years when a team is having a great year and in a special non-conference against the right type of teams, and now you're going down the end of conference play and playing against other teams that might be able to get you over the hump. But there are some other logistics that I think make it really, really hard.
Well, the Bulldogs will be back at home on Thursday, January the 30th against Charlotte, and then a 4 o'clock game that following that Saturday, February the 1st, against Old Dominion. But this week, the Bulldogs are on the road, 6:30 on Thursday at Middle Tennessee. Saturday's game, it will be at 2 o'clock at Alabama Birmingham. So make your plans to listen to that game or watch it. Hopefully you'll listen to Jack and I on the radio, but if you can't, I know you can watch it on TV somewhere or another. Usually you can find it somewhere the way college basketball is. I was looking in the Shreveport paper last Saturday. I counted 31 games were on TV on Saturday alone. So, I mean, to me, that delves into the home crowds that you have because, you know, Joe Blow can sit at home and watch a lot of basketball on Saturday without getting out of his easy chair. And, you know, instead of going out and paying so much to go see a game, your travel, your concessions, and all that. I don't know what the how to fix that, but something's got to be done, I think.
Well, I think phones and technology and everything has made life so convenient to do those types of things.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm so appreciative of our fans and our loyal following of people. We had I thought we got really loud in the Thomas Assembly Center
at
several times during that game on Saturday. And we can't say thank you enough for getting us so close. We were hoping to put it over the edge for our fans. And just stick with us and be back the next time. We'll be back about a week and a half.
Our thanks to Elton Taylor, our engineer here at the Doghouse, to Andrew, his assistant, Kane McGuire, media relations for Tech Basketball. Hope you'll join us on Thursday at 6:30 from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, when the Bulldogs take on Middle Tennessee. For Eric Conkle, I'm Dave Dentz. Thanks for attending. So long, everybody.
Live at the Doghouse Sports Grill, Inside Tech Basketball has been brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics, Fan Base Ruston, all tech, all the time, and by Origin Bank, the official bank of La Tech Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the La Tech Sports Network.